Good morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number one. Hymn number one. We'll sing hymn number 256. 256.
Control. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
Boy, if you sing that good down here, you imagine how it's going to be up there. They all sung a new song, and they sung. They sung. Oh, boy. But the song starts down here. The one you're going to sing up there, it has to start here. It has to start here. Turn with me, John chapter 11. Mr. Spurgeon said, whenever you've got a holiday or a special occasion or something, use it to preach the gospel. And everybody and their brother, you know, I said to Jim Friday, Wednesday. And a fellow kept running around there and said, he is risen, he is risen, he is risen. But I will say this, that a cardinal truth that a person absolutely has to believe in order to be saved is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a cardinal doctrine. That and the virgin birth, I think those two are the utmost things that you have to believe. But let me start reading here in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat in the house. I remember our Lord heard that Lazarus was sick. He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He stayed till he died. And Martha heard that he was coming. And then she said in verse 21, Martha said, Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Just wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Our Lord said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Our blessed Lord, our great and glorious God of heaven and earth. Lord, it's a blessed, blessed wonder that you had let us speak to you this morning. And you let us speak to you because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of who he is and what he did. Because of where he is now. We can come into your presence because of him. And you'll hear us because of him. You'll receive us because of him. You'll answer our prayers because of him. We have nothing to contribute, Lord, this morning, except our prayers and our offerings and our thanksgiving. And Lord, we bless you that you sit right now at the right hand of the Majesty on high, with all power vested in you, power to save, power to keep, power to come and get us again and take us to where you are. Oh Lord, blessed be your holy name. None is likened unto thee in all this universe like you. And Lord, we're grateful to be able to come in this service today, together here with the people of God, to open your blessed, blessed word and be able to preach about your Son and his glory and his power and his resurrection and his ascension and all the things that you've taught us from your word. And Lord, we pray and thank you for everyone that's come, and ask you please for the gospel to run well here today. May the gospel go forth in power. May it find a lodging, and may seed be sown in a heart. May Christ be formed in a soul. May faith be given, and may Christ be glorified. And Lord, we pray again for our dear brothers and sisters who are not here this morning through frailty of the body, because their bodies are weak, because of things that's wrong, and your providence has kept them from coming. And Lord, as our preacher brethren and our the men we fellowship with in our sister churches, God bless them today as we all meet to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and bless you in his holy name. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
Have no sin and have depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. All right, look with me back in John chapter 11. You know, Martha told the Lord Jesus Christ there in verse 24, after he told her brother would rise again, she said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's looking at a time when there'll be a resurrection. And I'm looking for a time that there'll be a resurrection. For me. But our Lord Jesus said unto her, I am. Our Lord called himself I am 7 times. I am the resurrection. The resurrection's not just a doctrine. The resurrection is a person. I've already been raised from the dead. You know that? I've already been raised. I've already been resurrected once. And I've got another resurrection to go to. But resurrection's in a person. It's more than just a doctrine. It's a person. And it's more than a doctrine to just believe, learn and believe. It's a person. He said, I am. Our Lord said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am he. I am. I am the light of the world. I am. And our Lord, when they come to get him to take him in the Garden of Gethsemane, they said, well, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. You know what he said? I am. I am. You know, Martha believed in the resurrection. And yet never saw it as it related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Never saw it that way. And she said, I know my brother's going to rise again. And I tell you what, he says, I am the resurrection. And listen to this, and the life. I'm the life. I am the life. And listen to this. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. Yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You know, whosoever liveth. Let me say something about that. You can't believe until you lie. You have life. He said, whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth. You can't believe until you have life. And that's the fact. You can't believe that Jesus Christ is life until you have life. You can't believe it at all. And our life comes before faith and believes in me. Not a doctrine, but believes in me shall never die. And believest thou this, our life, our spiritual life right now, and our hope for eternity is bound up in these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're bound up in them. My hope for eternity, my spiritual life right now, not the life that's to come. People say, well, they've entered into life. They, you know, listen, when Christ resurrects, you know, and the resurrection of Christ is a person, but yet the resurrection of Christ was an event. And our resurrection, when Christ raised us from the dead, that was an event that took place in our lives. He that believeth in me shall never die. He that liveth and believeth, the dead shall believe and live now. He that believeth in me shall, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so we have actually already experienced the resurrection from the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave us life from the death of our sins. And oh, our spiritual life, the words of our Lord is bound up. Our eternal life and our life in the hereafter is bound up in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection. Now, I want you to look with me in 1 Corinthians 15. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, the whole of the Christian faith, the whole of the Christian faith rests upon the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. Great is the mystery of godliness. God, first of all, was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels, believed on in this world. And the last thing it says, he was received up into glory. Received up into glory. And I tell you, the whole Christian faith, you cannot be saved, you cannot know Christ unless you know him as his resurrection, as he's one who lives right now. Christ is risen from the dead. Look what he said here in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And listen to this, become the first fruits of them that slept. But now in Christ Jesus, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. But as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all live. Now here's the situation is. It says there, here's the whole of the gospel in this verse 22. For as in Adam all die. What does that mean? That means that we died in Adam. That means that as Adam brought sin into this world, we all died in Adam. We was dead in sins. Adam was sinned against God, and we in Adam as natural men, we sinned against God. Our relationship, and God views this world in two men, Adam and in Christ. And right there it is, in Adam all die. If you're here without Christ, you're dead in sins. You can't understand. You know, you can hear the words that I'm saying. You can understand the words that I'm saying, but you can't understand spiritual life without Christ himself. You know, we died in Adam, and dead men can't hear anything. Dead men can't react to anything. Dead men can't believe nothing. Dead men can't give themselves life. But as in we died in Adam, look what else it says. Now the same ones who died in Adam, in Christ shall be made alive. Ain't that what he said? He that was dead shall yet live. Now how in the world did Lazarus, he was a dead man. Here's a dead man. Now I'll tell you something. You know, if our love for somebody and our grief for somebody and our missing somebody would give life to somebody, we'd give it back to them. But we can't. You can talk to a dead person, they can't hear you. You can speak to a dead person, look at them, but they can't see you back. And that's the way Adam was. But what in the world gave him life? What gave him life? Christ said, Lazarus, come forth. And the scripture said, he that was dead, came forth. And that's exactly what we're talking about right here. Our Lord Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Well, how in the world did Lazarus believe on him and he is dead? Christ had to give him life before he could come. And that's the way it is now. Christ has to, if we die in Adam, in Christ shall we be made alive. And oh my, and that is a spiritual resurrection from death of sin to life which is in Christ. Now I want to go back up here and start in verse 12. I want you to follow with me now if you can and will. Look what he says. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how some say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead. You know how many people in this world believe that there's no resurrection? Almost all East Indians don't believe it. They believe in reincarnation. They believe in reincarnation. You know, if you treat people right, you can come back. If you not treat people right, you come back as a bug or a worm or something. But I tell you what, here he says, then there's people that don't believe in the resurrection. I've met a lot of folks that don't believe in the resurrection. There's people right now making fun of the resurrection of Christ. But he said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? Now listen to this, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, and listen to this, then Christ is not risen. Christ is not risen. Well, what happens if Christ is not risen? If Christ is not risen from the dead, what happened is, if Christ be not risen, then my preaching is senseless. There's no reason in the world for me to get up here and preach. I'm making a vain effort when it talks about preaching. And I tell you something else, that I'm preaching to you, and I tell you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it said, your faith is useless too. If Christ be not raised, your faith is absolutely has no meaning to it. You don't even have any, is what he said. Your faith is useless. And oh, this is awful right here. Do you think about this? And yea, we are found false witnesses of God. What does that mean? That means I'm up here lying on God right now. If I say that Christ rose from the dead, and I preach that Christ rose from the dead, and I preach the reason why Christ rose from the dead, and if I preach, and if I do that, I'm lying. If Christ is not risen, then I'm lying on God Himself. And here's the reason why, because we have testified of God. We've been testifying to this. Paul started testifying that, and Peter started testifying that in Acts chapter 1. But he says, oh my, because we have testified of God. This is what we said, about God Himself said, that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if the dead don't rise. Now, listen to me. If Christ didn't raise, nobody else is going to be raised. That's what he's saying. If Christ not resurrected, nobody else is going to be resurrected. And if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And oh my, listen to this. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is useless. And here's the awfulest thing that could possibly be mentioned to us. We're still in our sins. Wouldn't that be an awful place to be left, still in our sins? Still in our sins. You know what it is to be in your sins? Huh? And here's something else. All the people that we've loved, all the people that we've went to the graveyard with, all the people that we've put our tombstones over, all the people that we've loved and said goodbye to in this world, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, no life after this, no hope after this, none whatsoever. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're most miserably deceived. We're the most miserably deceived person that could ever possibly be. But in Him and His resurrection, and it goes on to say, look at what he says in verse 20. But now, as Paul, that's one of his favorite things. I preached a message on that one time, but now. I may preach on it again here soon, but now. He paints this awful, awful dark picture, and then he turns around and says, but now. Oh, it's dark. Christ not risen. We're in our sins. We don't believe nothing. We're miserably deceived. Got a false hope. I'm lying on God. But now. Is Christ risen from the dead? And first fruits, you know what first fruits is? When they get the first fruits, everybody goes to their garden and they get the first thing that comes. And that's the way they was in the Old Testament. The first fruits that they got, they took it and gave it to the priest. They offered it to God, the very first fruits that they had. First thing they got out of the field, they took it to God. The first thing they got off the apple trees, they took them to God. Everything, the first fruits went to Him. And you know what Christ is? He's the first fruits. He's the first one went to the glory and first one went to heaven. And He's the first fruits. And that means that we're all going to go with Him. Of them that slept, And oh my, this most blessed, blessed truth of the resurrection of our is the foundation of our faith. And there's people who deny the resurrection. Jehovah's Witnesses do. Lots and lots of people deny the resurrection. But now look with me back up here in verse 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now here's the message. Here's the gospel. This is the message that we all preach. He said, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received. You can't tell something that you don't know. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the key to it right there. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. And listen to this now. And that he was seen. That he was buried. That he rose again the third day. And listen to this. According to the scriptures. So what we're saying is according to what Christ says and what God said. And look what, and then here's, he said, by many infallible proofs, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Simon Peter first, then of the 12, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom lots of them are still alive. Now let me say a few things about this as my introduction. If there be no resurrection, if Christ be not risen, what in the world is our hope? What is our hope? What is our hope right now? What is our hope right now? We don't have any hope. If Christ be not sitting at the right hand of God right now, didn't come out of that tomb, then where is our hope? If Christ be not risen, where is our hope? What is our hope? What hope do we have? Your faith is vain. My preaching is vain. I'm a false witness of God. And you sitting there still yet in your sins, and Christ didn't die to put them away. And those who have claimed to believe Christ without Christ are already perished. And oh my, if he didn't rise, we're all just fools and we're all to be pitied. Our hope is no hope. But it says there in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. You know, the resurrection of Christ proves that Christ was God. Proves that Christ was God. There's no way in the world that Christ could not be God. It'd be impossible for him to not be God. And the resurrection proves that he was God. He was raised from the dead by the Spirit of holiness. The religious leaders were so afraid that somebody would come and steal his body one of these days, that they put a guard on the tomb. Look over here in Matthew chapter 27. Look at Matthew chapter 27. You know, they were so afraid. That's what I mean. These fellas, there was a whole... The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. But look what it said they did over here in Matthew. The religious leaders were so afraid of somebody stealing the body away, they set a watch on the tomb. Look what it says down here in verse 62. Matthew 27:62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, listen to what they said about Christ. We remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. They understood clearly that he said, I'm going to rise again. They understood that, said, oh my, they told him, and after 3 days, I'll rise again. Now listen to what they said. Command, therefore, that the grave be made sure until the third day. And listen to this. Lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say unto the people, he's risen from the dead. And this is what they knew. They knew that they'd really messed up. So the last error will be worse than the first one we did. If they go to that grave and he's not in it because somebody stole him, we really messed up by having him crucified. And watch what happened. Pilate saith unto them, You have a watch. You got people to watch the grave. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, setting the seal in the stone and setting the watch. They said, watch it. Watch that grave. We don't want nobody sneaking him out of there. Watch that grave. That deceiver may come up, be resurrected again. But his resurrection proved he was who he said he was. Proved he is God. Look in Romans chapter 10. John chapter 10. I'm sorry. John chapter 10. You need to see this about the Lord. You know, look in John chapter 10. His resurrection proved he is who he said he was. You know, when Simon Peter, when our Lord told his disciples the first time that he had to go to Jerusalem, he'd be delivered into the hands of sinful men, that he would die, but that he would rise again on the third day. You know what the first thing Simon Peter did to him? He reached and got a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, far be it from you, Lord. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to let them do that to you. And he rebuked. And our Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Why did he say that? He said, because you like the things of men. You don't want no suffering. You don't want no death. You don't want to be identified with someone that's going to be crucified on a cross and be delivered in the hands of sinful men. And oh my, he rebuked him. But look what he said here in John 10:15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. Now listen to this. And I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the first thing I want you to understand. He said he didn't lay down his life for everybody. He did not say that. This idea that Christ loves everybody and Christ died for everybody, and there'll be a multitude of, oh my goodness, there'll be a multitude saying that today. But look what he says. I lay down my life for the sheep. He didn't say I lay down my life for those who'll exercise their free will. I didn't lay down my life for folks who are going to live right. I didn't lay down my life for folks who are going to attend church and be faithful to the church. I didn't lay down my life so folks could just make a decision and join the church. I didn't lay down my life. I laid down my life for the sheep, for the sheep. And he said, I've got some other sheep I have which are not of this fold. And this is talking about us. Them I also, and this, listen to this now, them I have to bring. He didn't say, I'm going to holler at them, say, come on, come on, come on, come on. I want you to accept me. I want you to accept me. I want you to open your heart and let me in. No, no. He said, I got to bring them. There's a big difference there, you see. He didn't say, would you please come? I'd like for you to come. If you open your heart, I'll come. But he said, I must bring. And listen to this. They shall hear my voice. And there'll be one fold. And just one shepherd. That's easy to understand. One. And look what he gets. And he said, listen to this now. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. I lay down my life. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know what y'all think about it, but I tell you what, when it talks about him laying down his life, why in the world would a man like him, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, sinless, perfect, God-man, why would someone so blessed, someone so holy, someone so perfect, someone with a heart that When our Lord Jesus Christ, when he shed tears, they were holy tears. I mean, to lay it down. Lay it down. I know people that if they could die today, believers, if they could die today, if they could will themselves to die today, they'd do it to get out of this world. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, I lay it down. Why would he lay his life down? His life is not like our life. Our life's a sinful life. Our life don't amount to much. But him, the God-man, him, the holy man, him, the sinless man, him, the perfect man, him, the Son of God. And oh my, I lay down my life. And listen to what he says next. He said that I might take it up. That I might take it again. What in the world is he talking about? I lay it down. But he said, you know what? If I lay it down, I can take it right back up. I can take it back up. And oh my. This, and I love this right here. No man takes it from me. No man takes it from me. Me and Doc was talking last week. There was a preacher. He's dead and gone. He'd been gone forever. He'd been in hell for, he just got started. And he ain't even, but he, no man takes it from me. I lay it down. And I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. I've taken this power and received it from the commandment of God my Father. Now, let me tell you this. If I'd have been at the cross when our Lord said he laid down his life when he went to that cross, I have the power to lay it down, have the power to take it up. This fella said, if I'd have been at the cross, I'd have stopped him. I'd have stopped him. I wouldn't have let people do him that way. This is a famous, famous preacher. Well, I tell you his name, Rex Humbard. And there's people that actually saw that if I was there, I would have stopped it. I'm tell you something. I was there. And I cried as loud as anybody else, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. I was there. I was there. Because if I wasn't there, if I did not take part in the death of Christ, I'll have no part in his resurrection. If I did not take part in my sins being on Christ, then I'll not have any part of his sins, my sins being put away. Huh? And oh, he goes on to say, no man takes it from him. Verse 18. I lay it down of myself. Bless his holy name. Oh, Lord, thank you for laying down your life for me. And I've got the power. I've got the authority. I've got the right to lay it down. And I've got the power. I've got the authority to take it again. Would you get this at? My Father gave me a commandment to do it. And this is what's happened ever since. There was a division there among the Jews for these sayings. Oh, my. He proved he was and is God. And I tell you, the our Lord Jesus' resurrection was for the glory of his Father. It was the glory for the glory. Father, glorify thou me with the life that I had with you before the world ever was. And the glory of his word. You know, David said that, our Lord, and it was about our Lord, thou shalt not suffer his soul to hell and thou shalt not suffer him to see corruption or leave his soul in hell. Now, the minute you and I die, our bodies start corrupting. The minute we die, well, if we don't have to die for it to start corrupting, it's getting pretty bad. It's getting pretty bad. But anyway, here's the thing. When we die, our bodies start corrupting quick. But there's no way. You know why Christ didn't, his body never corrupted? Because he had no sin. He had no sin. It's been possible for him to have corruption because he had no sin. You know why we corrupt? Because we have sin. Have sin. Oh my, and then it shows the glory of his power. We was resurrected by the power. The same power that raised Christ raised us from the dead. And oh my, let me tell you this about Christ. The justice of God. I don't know if y'all know anything about the justice of God. Was glorified in him. Now God, he was justified in the Spirit. And I tell you, by the Spirit. And here's the thing. Will God himself punish sin? Will God punish sin? Will he punish sin? Will he punish sin? Will God punish sin? And if he punished sin in Christ, when God's justice that said the soul that sinneth it must die, and every soul that's come into this world must die for their sin. Every soul that comes into this world is going to die for their sin. Everyone. Everyone in this building is going to die for their sin. They are. Now, here's two ways of dying for your sin. You can die in your own sin without Christ, or else you can die with Christ in your sin with Christ. Huh? And how in the world can I die if with Christ, because God's justice says you shall die? Well, God took Christ and made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that God might be just and take those who have sin and take those who have sin. And Christ died for their sin. And everyone for whom Christ died, God cannot come and punish them for their sins ever again. Now, when Christ died for my sin, he died for all of them. And people say, well, you got to believe. Well, you got to have life before you can believe. And here's the thing. When Christ died, he died 2,000 years ago. My faith did not make my sins go away. Christ made my sins go away. Amen. And when he made them go away, he made... And that was 2,000 years before I was born. My sins was already gone. And then God comes along and he gives me faith to believe what he did. And I understand that God's justice punished me, and I've already died for my sins. I've already been punished for my sins. I've already suffered for my sins. Where at? In Christ on the cross. And how many sins you reckon he took care of that day? Every one of them was future. Every single sin I committed was future. And every sin I'm going to commit from now on is still future. So if he took care of my sins before I ever was, that means he took care of all of them. Right to the last one I'll commit before I leave this world. Now, is he going to come back and get me again for my sins? Can he punish me twice? How just would that be to punish me twice? Oh, my. Oh, God's wisdom and grace. Oh, my goodness. We're so glorified in God, in Christ. God must be just. But, oh, my. When God gives you faith to believe on his blessed Son, he justifies, the scripture says, the ungodly. And he died for us when we were yet without strength. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. And let me give you this. I'm taking too long. I know I am. Can't help myself. I just, you know, there's some things I can help, some things I can't. This is one of them times I can't. His resurrection. And that's why, you know, you can run around and go on, he's risen, he's risen, he's risen, he's risen, and make a big deal about it. But I tell you what, why did he come? Why did he die? And his resurrection proves everything about why he came and what he did and why he died and why he was resurrected. And his resurrection proves that he accomplished his work as a surety of his people. Now, you know what a surety is? A surety is not somebody just co-signs for you, you know. Mama, would you go co-sign at the bank for me so I can borrow $1,000? No, a surety is somebody that stands good for somebody that has nothing. You know, a surety, you're incompetent. You need a surety. You're ignorant. You need a surety. You're incapable. You need a surety. You got no means. You need a surety. You have nothing to offer. You can't. Your name ain't worth nothing. You don't have anything. You need a surety. Well, he was our surety. Well, God said, you got a debt that has to be paid. What is that debt? Sin. All the sins of God's elect come from east and west, from the future and from the past, and they all come meet on Christ. And all that debt, just like a huge mountain, come down on Christ. And you know what he did? When he raised from the dead, it proved that the debt was paid. And the only reason you got now to know your debt's paid, you had a surety that paid it. You couldn't pay it. You didn't have nothing to pay with. You was incompetent. You was ignorant. You didn't have nothing. You didn't even have clothes to put on. You was naked, and he had to dress you. You was dead, he had to give you life. You was in debt, and he had to pay your debt. Oh, my. And oh, didn't he done that? He made an end of sin. He reconciled us to God. He made us righteous. And oh, bless his holy name. That law, I don't know why in the world anybody would want to have the Ten Commandments in their house, on the wall, or in their yard. I don't understand it for the life of me. I was here one Wednesday night, and I was saying something about the law, and I asked if anybody here had ever fulfilled the law, and there was a woman here, and she said, I have. And I said, no, nobody has. Nobody has. Love God. Love your neighbors, yourself. Don't make a falsehood. Don't even exaggerate. Oh, my. Oh, he fulfilled that law, and he's the end of it. He entered into the holy place, obtained eternal redemption for us, did everything required of a surety, everything that God required, and God said, saw the travail of his soul and satisfied. And, oh, my, raised him from the dead to prove it. Raised him from the dead to prove it. I want you to look with me over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at this and then I'll quit. 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh my. You know, our ultimate resurrection is because of his resurrection. He's called our blessed hope. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him. We're like Job. We know our Redeemer lives and shall stand at the last. On the earth at the last day. David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. But look what he said here in verse 13. And I'll wind this thing up. I know I'm wearing you out. I'm sorry. But I'd not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He said, that's another thing that Paul talked about. Don't want people to be ignorant. Concerning them which are asleep. And you know why they call death asleep? Because you're just resting from your labors. That's the first thing he said. Blessed are they who die in the Lord, who rest from their labors. Huh? And look what he says. And I don't want you to be sorry about it. I don't want you to be sorry about it. I don't want you weeping about it. Even as others which have no hope. Listen to this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I got a lot of kin folks out there at Thomas Springs. You got kin folks over at Big Lick. We got kin folks. And one of these days, we believe that them are laying in that grave. One of these days that when Christ raised from the dead, they're going to come with him. Huh? And oh my. And I tell you, God's going to bring them with him. For this we say unto you, and this is what it is, by the word of the Lord, word of God itself, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we're not going to hinder them which are asleep, them that are in the grave. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And oh my goodness, what a shout. He shall shout so loud that it's going to raise the dead. That's going to be like that. Lazarus, come forth. He's going to shout so loud. It's going to raise everybody. People buy these vaults, you know. They buy a big vault and they put the casket in there and then put a big thing on it and fasten it down so no water or anything get in there. Why in the world? I mean, you know, he gonna bust that thing all to pieces. Listen to what he says now. Oh my goodness. For the Lord himself shall just come from heaven, he gonna shout. And you read over in Revelation about that voice of an archangel standing on the land and standing on the sea. And there's going to be a big, big trumpet sound like they blew the trumpets and the walls of Jericho fell down. And here's the first, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, bless the Lord. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them that Christ raises from the dead. To be caught up together with them in the clouds. He left in the cloud. We're going to go right back up in the clouds again. And as what God says, to meet the Lord. To meet the Lord. Not just anybody. People say, boy, I sure would like to meet so-and-so. Get somebody's autograph. To meet the Lord? To meet the Lord. And where are we going to meet him at? In the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Huh? Oh my. The dead are living right now. I'm living right now. And I'm not going to enter into eternal life. I already got it. I'm just going to enter into glory. Well, boy, that took a while, didn't it? You got anywhere to go after this? Well, I tell you, I love you and appreciate you. I hope I didn't. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. Without believing in the resurrection of Christ, there is no life for anybody. Yes, no life. No life. You know, when I'm talking to my family, I'm talking to dead people. I really am. I got to hush. Our Father, oh, our blessed Father, thank you for your abundant grace and mercy given us in Christ before the world ever began. Thank you for this great, glorious, blessed salvation that you gave us, gave it to us. Thank you for laying down your life for us. Thank you for bearing our sin in your body on that tree. Thank you for bearing them away. Blessed be your name that you come again from the grave, left all of our sins in that grave, left them all behind, put them away by the sacrifice of yourself, never to be remembered against us again. Lord, bless these dear saints. Cause the gospel to be effectual here today for Christ's sake. Thank you for those who love Christ, believe Christ, and trust him. We thank you for them and pray, Lord God, that you'd save your sheep wherever they are. Bring them to yourself for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
You all stay. They're going to have dinner after the service today. You're at liberty to go. And they'll open that door and holler at you when it's time to eat. Ain't no dinner bell, just somebody hollering at you.